Every year on the first Sunday of Lent, we have the rite of election. And that's when the candidates and catechumens go to Salina, to the cathedral, and are called officially by the church to the Easter sacraments. And of course, in every parish in the diocese, we have the rite of sending them to Salina for that election. And so we're going to be doing that during this Mass. And it's not by accident that the first Sunday of Lent is always about the desert, Christ's temptation in the desert. And so Lent was originally designed for the catechumens. It was designed as that final phase of their journey toward the Easter sacraments. And there's a sense in which during this season of their preparation, the academic or the intellectual preparation kind of stops and it becomes more of a spiritual journey. And so the church in the fourth century began this process, but it didn't take very long for the church to realize that it's not just the catechumens who need this spiritual journey, the whole church does, because we kind of tend to forget in our humanness what life is all about, and this reading about the Christ's temptation in the desert helps us focus that. So let's look into that gospel reading. This happens right after, in Luke's gospel, Jesus has been baptized. And after the baptism, Jesus is in deep prayer, and he hears the voice of the Father, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit hovers over him like a dove. And so Jesus, experiencing his, not just his humanity, but his divinity, as a participator in the triune life of God. He hears the voice of the Father, he sees the dove above him. And so then he gets sent by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And here, Jesus takes on our humanity in that singular way that makes sense if you understand the Old Testament. And we've spoken often of this here. 40 years is a biblical lifetime, and they spent 40 years in the wilderness. So that first reading reminds us of the larger history of which we are a part, that our father was a wandering Aramean who went down to Egypt with a small family and grew into a great nation, which eventually became enslaved, and then God, with his strong hand and right arm, worked powerful wonders to rescue them from that slavery and that death, and delivered them after 40 years of preparation, making them his own people, establishing this lasting relationship with them. I will be your God and you will be my people. And it took a lifetime for them to get that. And that's important because it takes us a lifetime to get it too. Look at Mary. She pondered these things in her heart for the rest of her life. If Mary can do that, who was sinless, we need to do that too, who are sinners. And so Jesus undergoes the temptations that are in a way typical of our human nature. And the first one is to fill your stomach. You know, he's hungry after 40 days and 40 nights without eating. And so the devil tempts him, you know, turn these stones into bread. You're divine. You have this power. You know, exercise it. And it's the temptation to fill our bellies, the temptation to be satiated quickly and without having to agonize over it. In the history of nations, the history of the world, despots have always filled people's stomachs and offered them entertainment to keep their minds off of their oppression. In the Roman Empire, they called it bread and circuses. You know, you gave the poor enough to eat, and then you had the Colosseum where you entertained them. And if you keep people's bellies full, and if you keep them entertained and distracted, you can get away with anything. And in the Roman Empire, only 10% of the population were citizens. The other 90% were slaves. How did they maintain that for all those years? They maintained it with bread and circuses. And this is a kind of a temptation, for sometimes we exercise power over others, or power is exercised over us, because we don't seem to understand that there's more than just having your stomach filled. Humans don't live on bread alone, Jesus says. And in the wilderness, that was one of the temptations for them. They grumbled against God and against Moses because they were hungry or because they were thirsty. The second temptation, the devil shows Jesus all the nations of the world in a single instant. Nations beget animosity and division. There are two words in the Bible for the evil one. The first one is Satan, from Satanus, and it means the accuser. And the other word that the Bible uses is devil, which comes from diabolo, meaning the one who divides. And nations are largely about division, one nation against another. And nationality, nationalism, while it might be a good thing in some ways, can easily get to be excessive. And so one nation is accusing the other nation of being unjust or inadequate in some way, and justifying their warring against them and their oppression of them, or at least their division. So accusing and dividing. And Jesus is given the temptation, because he's God, to exercise his power to accuse and divide, and Jesus will have none of it. And the third temptation, throw yourself down from this high point and test God to see if he will rescue you with his angels. And I think that's the temptation that we all have, to have some kind of authentication of our truth or our personhood. We want some outside evidence rather than going through the long prayerful journey of discernment about who we are as God's children, to have it exteriorly authenticated, not just for me, but for everybody around, so they'll know I'm real, that I'm a child of God, that I'm important. But real authentication comes from within. St. Augustine wisely said, I spent years out there looking for you, and all this time you were within me. But it takes years of discernment, reflecting on the mystery like Mary, to come to that realization. So these catechumens and candidates are going through a conversion process. And the conversion process has to do with all these things we're talking about. First of all, it has to do with the journey to relationship with God. I am your God, and you are my son, you are my daughter. And learning through a lifetime, a 40-year lifetime of spiritual journey, to come to some kind of deep recognition of what that means to be a daughter or a son of our Heavenly Father. And it may mean something today for these catechumens and candidates. It may mean something different for us who have been in this for a long time. But 10 years from now, for all of us, it's going to be something very different again, because this is a lifelong process. It never ends. In fact, it doesn't end with death either, because on into eternity, we are never going to fully wrap our minds around God. Because by definition, God is beyond our minds. God is beyond our comprehension. The saints used to say, if you understand it, then it's not God. And the recognition that we're all in conversion process, we're recovering sinners, we're recovering being lost, discovering through a lifetime of prayer and spiritual journey that we have been found. that we have been found by God before we even knew we were lost. But then what does that mean? And so this morning we join our minds and our hearts and our prayers to these people who are in an outward way going through this journey, but also recognizing our sharing in that journey as well.